Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Welcome to the Wildcast, your Arizona Wildcats podcast. I'm Arizona Daily Star sports editor Ryan Finley, here with Greg Hansen, GH. By the way, you know we're nearing episode 100 of our little podcast here?
Man, you've been a busy man, man.
I'm telling you, I was telling Michael Love about this the other day. I think we need some sort of remote podcast studio to celebrate episode 100, maybe at a place with beer. That was my thought.
Maybe Bob Dobbs.
Bob Dobbs would be good. In lieu of that, I think that we should sneak in some sort of lukewarm 12-pack here into this sort of personality-less room where we record our podcast every week. Greg, some news today. Sean Elliott has been elected to the NABC. It's the College Basketball Hall of Fame. It's not the Naismith Hall of Fame, but it's certainly a Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Sean Elliott was sort of Arizona's first big star. The key to their 1988 run. The news seemed to come from out of nowhere, but certainly still welcome. What do you make of all this?
It's, I believe, the 12th year of, of this new College Basketball Hall of Fame.
Right, so, opened in 06 in Kansas City, yeah.
So they're still in the formative stage, and I know they, when they started, they inducted like 50 guys.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Jabbar, Walton, all those guys. And now it's about five a year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I think there's good timing that Elliott was is highly thought of to get into this stage. Mm-hmm. He's the only non-UCLA guy in the Pac-12 in, so that says a lot about his reputation.
Does he belong in the Naismith Hall of Fame? I kind of think he does.
I looked at people who are in there,
mm-hmm.
you know, a few months ago, and I thought, yeah, he's if he went in, you don't raise your eyebrows.
I mean, he's the Pac-12. He was at the time he left. Is he still the Pac-12's all-time leading scorer?
Don McLean.
Don McLean. Oh, that's right. That's why everybody here hates Don McLean. That's right. But, I mean, he was, to me, if you're talking about the greats of Pac-12 basketball, Sean Elliott's in the first dozen names.
In Pac-12?
In Pac-12.
Oh, I'd say top 10.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, who's better than him? I mean, Walton, Alcindor, a bunch of other, not that many.
Pretty close after that. He could be three.
Right.
Gary Payton could be. Payton accomplished more in the pros than he did in college.
Right, right.
But Elliott accomplished more in college than the pros, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, Sean Elliott, aside from single-handedly putting Arizona on the map, getting them to their first ever Final Four, I mean, Sean Elliott was sort of a modern player. I mean, he's a 6'6 dude.
6'8.
I'm sorry, 6'8 dude. 6'6 in high school. Who, I mean, played kind of a little bit everywhere, right? I mean, could take it outside, was pretty good around the basket. Was a versatile guy who wasn't a great pro, but a two-time All-Star and a world champion.
He could bring the ball up court and often did.
Mm-hmm.
Clutch shooter among clutch shooters.
Right.
And terrific person.
Right.
It's just such a good story. A guy's growing up here at Cholla High School when Lute is hired.
Right.
What are the odds of that?
Grew up over on the west side.
Yeah. And,
I mean, my favorite Sean Elliott story was, you know, I talked to him once about growing up here. With his two brothers, right? He had two brothers. Is it Bobby and Noel, right? Bobby?
Yeah, and Noel, yeah.
Bobby and Noel. And his mom was a hospital nurse. She worked the overnight shift. So every night at 10:30, she'd go to work. And, I mean, Sean Elliott's dad, I don't believe, was in the house. I mean, those three boys were together, just the three of them, overnight, every night. That's some way to grow up. And yet, they did it with sports. All three of them turned out to be successful humans. You know, he said of his mom, who died, what, 4 or 5 years ago, Odie May?
Two years ago.
Was it that recently?
Yeah.
He said of his mom that she was the biggest basketball fan he ever knew. And that she would always, even when she was in the hospital dying, she'd watch an NBA game out of the corner of her eye.
No kidding.
It's pretty cool. And, I mean, he's ours, right? I mean, yes. As Tuusonen's, what makes him so lovable isn't that he was good. It was that he was ours.
And he didn't big time Tuusonen's.
Right.
His agent for most of his career was Bert Konerk.
Sure.
And the guy who he had handle most of his affairs, Armando Rios.
Sure.
Tucson guy.
True Tucson guys. And I think that it would be one thing if he went to New York City and we never heard from him ever again, or if he became Mr. Los Angeles. But I think the fact that he lives in San Antonio, which if you squint is kind of just like Tucson. It's Tucson with an NBA team. That's cool. I'm sure that helped him in San Antonio. And, you know, when he comes back, he's certainly acclaimed. What I wanted to talk to you about today was 30 years ago this week. Actually, it's technically 30 years ago next week. The Arizona Wildcats played in their first ever Final Four, 1988, Kansas City, Missouri, against the Oklahoma Sooners. They had a team with Sean Elliott, Steve Kerr, Tom Tolbert, who I'm just learning was a fantastic college player.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, Lute Olson at the helm. That changed everything for Tucson as a sports city. You were there. Please, I'm going to shut my mouth and sit back. Tell me stories about 1988.
It captured Tucson and hasn't let go. That's what I would say. Because they had such likable... It was almost storybook. Because Lute Olson... How did Arizona ever get Lute Olson?
Right.
Final Four coach. He looked the part. He was famous. Arizona goes 4-24. They hire Lute Olson. He comes to Tucson. In his first spring, Sean Elliott's growing up at Cholla High School. What are the odds of that? The best player in the history of the state, I think.
Mm-hmm. He's living 4 miles from campus.
Yeah.
Would not have walked across the street to play for the Grand Canyon guy. Ben Lindsay. Ben Lindsay, but somehow gets recruited to Arizona by Lute Olson.
Yeah. And he plays on Lute's world championship team in 1986 after his sophomore year. Mm-hmm. It was really hard to make that team, and sure. he was a rotation player. And you match him with Steve Kerr, you know, irresistible story. Mm-hmm. And then the other characters, Tom Tolbert, mm-hmm. is his own little caricature, just...
Still is.
Terrific mm-hmm. personality.
Yeah.
And the whole thing fit because the bench players accepted their roles. They barely had two guys on the bench who got minutes. Mm-hmm. Joe Turner, who was like a 6'7" center, mm-hmm. and Harvey Mason, but he tore up his knee. Mm-hmm. Kenny Lofton. And Kenny wasn't really good then.
Right.
So it was basically five guys, and the Pac-12, the Pac-10 was so bad at the time. Arizona won their games by an average of 21 points a game, mm-hmm. still a league record. They just smashed everybody. They had one epic battle at Stanford that they lost, the only game they lost.
They host the Pac-12 tournament in McHale Center that year, right?
I can still hear the coaches complaining.
Yeah.
That they had to come here. No, but, you know, the league was just so bad then.
Right.
And it shouldn't take away from what Arizona did, because Arizona's preseason, Billy Packer said at the time, they played the best preseason he had ever seen in the history of college basketball. Mm-hmm. They beat number 1 Syracuse, number 9 Michigan, mm-hmm. and the best, they went to number 3 Iowa, Lute's homecoming game, mm-hmm. and beat number 3 Iowa there. Maybe one of the top three games I've ever seen.
I mean, they went to the Great Alaskan Shootout where they faced a Syracuse team that had Ronnie Cycling on it.
Yeah, number 1.
Yeah, number 1 team. A Michigan team that had Glenn Rice on it. And, I mean, they played better teams in the Great Alaskan Shootout than Arizona's basketball team played this year all year.
I know it. And then during the, you know, when they got to the tournament, they had to play Iowa again.
Right.
Which was, it was hard to believe. They were rematched with Iowa. Mm-hmm. Iowa finished like 5th in the nation. Mm-hmm. And Arizona beat them by 20. And then, of course, they had to beat Dean Smith to go to the Final Four. How do you set that up? It was just storybook from start to finish.
Was Tucson in on this team from the very beginning?
It had actually got in 3 years earlier when Arizona, they won the 86 Pac-10 title, mm-hmm. their first Pac-10 title than anything, mm-hmm. other than baseball. And they bought in then because the growth was so remarkable from 1-17, mm-hmm. and then they win the league 3 years later. and it was the stories on all these kids, Elliot and Kerr, were just, you couldn't turn away.
I didn't know the origin of the term Gumbies until just recently. Do you know this?
I've heard it a million times.
Bruce Fraser? He said that the Lute played the subs so infrequently that when they got up, their backs would be stiff, and they'd tear off their tearaway pants and go in, and they'd be moving kind of like Gumby because they'd been sitting in one position for so long.
That's a good story, but their subs got more time than any other team's subs because they were
beating the crap out of everybody. Yeah,
they won one game 133-81.
I mean, you look at the names that we can all still, and Greg, it's 2018. This is 30 years later. The names on that team are still household names in Tucson, right? Mm-hmm. Lute Olson, Sean Elliott, Steve Kerr, Tom Tolbert, Matt Muehlbach,
mm-hmm.
Judd Bushler.
Judd was like the seventh man.
Right.
Kenny Lofton.
Yeah, he turned out okay.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're ranking, if you asked your average sort of, any of your sons, let's say, all of whom were alive during that run of 1988, if you were to ask them today to list their 10 favorite Arizona Wildcats of all time, how many from that team would be on that list? Five? Four?
That's their favorite team.
Right.
Because we still talk about it.
Yeah.
And obviously Kerr and Elliott are,
sure,
I would think, all three of my sons, those are their two favorite players.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, then, there were no media restrictions then. You could go watch practice.
Wow.
And I did this a number of times. Practice would end. Mm-hmm. Steve Kerr walks off the court. You stop him and interview him.
Mm-hmm.
There were basically two media outlets in Tucson then, the Tucson Citizen and the Star.
Mm-hmm.
You had your run of it. You'd go in the locker rooms,
mm-hmm.
And they were personalities.
I know that there's no cheering in the press box, but during the NCAA tournament, we've both been there.
Yeah.
You enjoy the ride as much as anything, right? I mean, you check out of your hotel room in the morning not knowing whether you're going back to Tucson or you're going on to Kansas City or wherever it would be. Following that team from Los Angeles to Seattle,
mm-hmm.
and then to Kansas City, what was that experience like?
Well, Los Angeles was fun because CBS that day, Brent Musburger, before the game, went on TV and picked Seton Hall to beat Arizona.
Wow.
In the second game.
Wow.
And the news got to the locker room probably in 1 second. So they took it out on Seton Hall.
Oh, right.
84-55.
Wow.
And then going to Seattle with Dean Smith being there and on Iowa, it's just like, have you ever seen a better bracket than that?
Who was the fourth team in there? Who did Carolina have to beat? Do you remember?
I can't.
Uh-huh.
And of course, you know, Tolbert made the play, probably the best play in U of A history, with about 9 minutes to go in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Little flip inside, he gets fouled for 3-point play,
mm-hmm.
breaks the game open. Bobby Olsen rushes onto the court, and Lute gives her a hug and a kiss. They fly home. They still get home in time for all the fans to be at McHale that night.
Wow.
You know, 14,000 people were in McHale when they got home.
Wow.
Then going to Kansas City was just otherworldly to me, mm-hmm. to be part of something that had grown. You'd seen it grow for 5 years,
right.
and culminated in that. To me, it didn't even matter that they lost, because the story was written. And the thing I remember the most about that season was when they opened the locker room door after they lost to Oklahoma in the Final Four. And I didn't know what to expect. They opened the door, and players were from you to me away,
mm-hmm.
and it was a sob fest.
Wow.
Now, I've been in Arizona's locker room after they lost the 94 Final Four. Not one person cried.
Right.
After they lost to Duke in the 01 championship game, no tears.
Mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago, almost a sense of relief.
Yes.
Yeah.
But in 88, it was no one wanted to let the season go. I remember seeing big old Sean Rooks. He was redshirting that year.
Mm-hmm.
6'11 NBA player, just sobbing like your 4-year-old son.
Wow.
And then the next day, to cap it,
mm-hmm.
the NCAA created an award for Steve Kerr. Who would do that? It was called the Most Courageous Player of the Year,
mm-hmm.
and it was in a downtown Kansas City hotel. And we all walked in, not knowing what to expect, and Kerr and his mom and his brother walk in. And it just hit me like, I'm getting emotional mm-hmm. thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Kerr was such a story then. If you think he's a story now, then it was just as big. Mm-hmm. And he gets up to talk, and he couldn't talk.
Wow.
And I'm sitting right in front of his mom and brother. I turn around, and they are both sobbing.
Wow.
And Steve sobs. And he ends it by saying, I loved every day of my time at Arizona. It was the best.
And Steve Kerr went on, I mean, we joke about this. Steve Kerr could be president.
I know.
I mean, Steve Kerr is now, at least, the coolest guy in the NBA, coaching the coolest team in the NBA. Was there any thought back then that Steve Kerr, who was kind of Tucson's little secret, was destined for great things?
At the time, he got to start working on his master's degree that year, and it was in sports administration. He was going to be an athletic director.
Wow.
So he spent that year, probably had one class. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you how he didn't take himself too seriously, because mm-hmm. about 2 weeks after that Final Four game, the City League baseball team I played on had its mm-hmm. opening game. Mm-hmm. And Kerr had told the team trainer, Steve Condon, was on our team. Mm-hmm. He'd been telling Condon all year, I'm playing on your baseball team. So I didn't give it another thought. We show up in our new unis, first game at Reed Annex. We're warming up and Kerr walks in.
Wow.
Wearing Creative Awards jersey. Starts warming up. We knew he was a good high school player. Mm-hmm. He's warming up with us. And he batted second in the lineup. And first guy gets on. Mm-hmm. Kerr gets up. And I'm thinking, is he really playing here? Mm-hmm. And he drops a bunt down the third baseline and beats it out. The inning ends, and he comes in a dugout and goes, that's it, guys.
Wow.
And retired. Someone had told him, and rightly so, you cannot play baseball.
No.
But he had said all year he's going to play, and he came and played one game.
Wow. He even got the jersey. He shows up in a jersey.
And he dropped the bunt. But what I wish I had a video of it, if we had cameras mm-hmm. or phones like we do now. Just watching him play catch, and you know as a ball player yourself, it took two throws to realize this guy can play.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. Did that change the 88 season? Did it change the way Tucson viewed itself?
Oh, 100%. I've said that forever. Mm-hmm. Because I'd moved here 4 or 5 years earlier, and there was nothing. Mm-hmm. It was a place that was nice in the winter. And to me, the number one thing about Tucson was that John Wayne made a lot of movies here. Mm-hmm. That was its reputation. The city had bungled a ton of things over the years.
No.
Didn't build freeways.
Tucson, Arizona bungling things as a city?
Go ahead. And, you know, their football program was bland. Right. The basketball program, except for 4 Fred Snowden years, was bland.
Mm-hmm. It was a baseball school.
It was a baseball school. But, you know, the general part of the population didn't care about that. Mm-hmm. But suddenly, in 1988, they had a brand. Mm-hmm. And they still got it. Mm-hmm. And that's where it started. And it was the personalities as much as the winning.
I think back to the movie Speed. I know this is really dumb. It's 1992, 93, right? Mm-hmm. Sandra Bullock's in that movie. Isn't she wearing an Arizona mm-hmm. shirt?
Yep.
And Keanu Reeves goes to her Arizona what? Basketball school, right? Or something like
that. Yeah, I remember that.
I mean, that became, in a span of 4 or 5 years, Arizona's national brand, right? I mean, the U of A was... Maybe, with the exception of the year the Suns made the NBA Finals, the U of A was the most popular and most successful sports organization of any kind in the state for 15 years.
Yeah. And to some degree, it still is. Mm-hmm. I know that the Cardinals and Diamondbacks have annexed the Phoenix area, mm-hmm. but Tucsonas haven't. Mm-hmm. And it's been 30 years, a long time, but... they haven't matched it. Even the national championship team didn't match it.
Right.
I didn't. I mean, they made a video about it, a song about it. There's a song and a video.
There's a documentary being made right now.
I know.
Why do you think that is? Is it that Sean Elliott was one of us? Is it that Steve Kerr had the great story? Or is it just that the first is always the one that you compare everything else to?
Part of that being first, but the other part were the personalities. Mm-hmm. You just couldn't write a better story than Steve Kerr.
No.
I mean, the night he basically introduced himself to Tucson, 4 nights after his dad was murdered, mm-hmm. makes his first shot, mm-hmm. the town embraced him right away, mm-hmm. I mean, Lute was the leader of it all. He would just, he had such a presence, and the presence took over the town.
Sure.
And to some degree still does. His statue is going to be dedicated in 2 weeks, and that's going to be a big event.
Absolutely. Why do you think other teams and organizations in town haven't been able to match that level of success? I mean, we're sitting here today. There are no Tucson Sidewinders. There are no Tucson Padres. There are no Tucson Toros. There's no Arizona Heat. There's an Arena League football team that began and then died. There's been two hockey teams that began and then died. We have a hockey team, the Tucson Roadrunners, that are in first place in their division, but they're drawing like 4,000 people a night.
Yeah.
How has nothing been able to compare to Arizona basketball in the last 30 years?
I can only answer that with another question, and that is, why hasn't something like this happened in other Pac-10 cities, other Pac-12 cities? I mean, I was at Oregon State when they were number one in the nation, basically 2 years in a row, and it went away.
Yeah. I grew up going to games at UCLA, and UCLA was good. You know what UCLA games are like in person? They suck. They're boring. I have a theory. I think Tucson is America's biggest small town, right? It's a city of nearly a million people or a million people plus. There's no pro sports team. The U of A is the one thing we can all agree on, right? I mean, from the old guy living in Saddlebrook to somebody living two blocks away from us down here in South Tucson, there's everybody agrees on the Wildcats. They agree on nothing else.
Yeah.
They don't agree on potholes or freeways or sales tax or politics, especially not politics. But they all agree on the Wildcats.
I think to a great extent, this 88 team illustrates people being fans of winners, fans of winning.
Mm-hmm. Winning. Mm-hmm.
Because for 30 years, Arizona has been winning. Mm-hmm. And pretty easy to latch on to that.
And it's a fun feeling, I think, as a fan to have high standards and maybe look down your nose at schools, look down your nose at UCLA and something. That's kind of, that's impressive, right?
Really, and the second city status of Tucson in the state of Arizona takes a leap ahead of Phoenix when you talk about college sports.
Oh, yeah, no question. Even football, I think. I mean, ASU should be much better than the U of A in football, I think. They never are.
No.
And you'd think that in a city the size of Phoenix, they should be able to recruit better basketball players than the U of A. Hadn't happened yet.
You know, let's say Sean Elliott didn't grow up in Tucson.
Right.
Let's just say they had Steve Kerr and Craig McMillan. Mm-hmm. That team would have gone like 20-11.
Right.
But just the variable that there's this mystical figure growing up at Cholla High School. I mean, not even at Sal Point or Saguaro.
Right, he's not at CDO killing people. He's at Cholla. Yeah.
I talked to his coach, who coached them, Mel Carley, and said, "Do you remember the first time you saw Sean Elliott?" And he goes, "Yeah, he came into gym. He was, I think, ninth grade, and I see him, and I see he's a taller kid. He goes, his arms were down to here.
Wow.
And so I go up and start talking to him. I'd never heard of him. And I said, "What do you play?" And he said, "I'm a soccer player."
Whoa.
And Mel Carley told me then that he said, "Son, I want you in the gym." And like it took him 2 years.
Wow.
He didn't make the varsity as a freshman and sophomore like you do now. Mm-hmm. He basically wasn't a varsity starter until he was a junior.
We have a story on Tucson.com right now written by old buddy John Gold about Sean Elliott 30 years from Sean Elliott today, right? And how he, looking back on what had happened 30 years ago. And John wrote about the night Lute Olson recruited Sean Elliott. It was something like January 31st, 1984. And that he had gone to Sunnyside High to watch Sean Elliott play the Sunnyside Blue Devils. Right? Look in our archives today. What do we have in there? A photo from that game.
No way.
Sean Elliott going up for a rebound. All arms and legs, right? I mean, he's 6'6", probably 130 pounds. All arms and legs. There are, and you look behind him, 26 people in the stands. There's nobody there.
God.
Could you imagine how many people, A, claim now that they saw Sean Elliott play in high school, and B, what you'd tell those people now to go see that kid over there, that high school junior who averaged 20 points against Sunnyside High in a who cares basketball game. That guy is going to change the face of Tucson sports forever. Nobody'd believe you.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
Nobody would believe you.
When he had his kidney transplant,
right.
I think it was about 2000,
mm-hmm.
I went to San Antonio for the game and got there a day or so early. And this tells you the impact of it in Tucson. Every Tucson TV station sent a reporter and a cameraman.
Wow.
Compare that now that no Tucson TV station sent anybody to the Pac-12 tournament or the NCAA tournament this year.
That's crazy.
But all three then sent two people to San Antonio for that one game.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a big press conference the day before he was going to play. Mm-hmm. And he was very emotional.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
And I remember being in the locker room and he comes out and it was mm-hmm. such a feeling of redemption that he was back. Because, you know, you feared he was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And we're standing around his locker room. And Sean Elliott is such a classy guy, and I've always thought that he called each of us by our names.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sally Shamrell, I think, was at Channel 9,
mm-hmm.
never covered basketball. And I remember she asked him a question, and he said, da-da-da, Sally. I mean, that kind of tied you all together.
Sure. Can you believe Sean Elliott's 50 years old?
Wow. That hit me.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow. I guess he would be.
Looks good for 50. Looks real good for 50. But he's 50 years old.
He's, you know, this was the first year he hadn't done Pac-12 tournament
right.
analysis.
Mm-hmm.
And I miss seeing him there. Because when he would walk in, the place hushed.
Yeah.
Because it was 12,000 U of A fans.
Sure.
And he would walk down, mm-hmm. take his seat there, and everybody would just go, wow, Sean Elliott's here.
Before we go, last thing. Is this the team that you compare everybody else to in your head?
In a Tucson sense.
Yeah.
The best team in school history. Better than the national championship team. I mean, what are the other best teams in Tucson history, any sport?
Baseball. Baseball championship teams.
Yeah.
Maybe 2001, 2003, 1994. Basketball.
There were probably a couple of U of A golf teams, but people didn't know the makeup of those.
No.
And the one Sidewinders team that won everything.
Mm-hmm.
With Chip Hale.
Sure.
But
Carlos Quentin, Connor Jackson, all those
guys.
Yeah.
In fact, that one in the 91 Toros mm-hmm. might be next to this 88 team.
Wow.
But just nothing compares to it because everybody was all in.
More innocent time, too.
Man, it was before big money. It was before FBI investigations. It was when everybody knew Lute and Bobby and their kids.
Uh-huh.
It was when everybody knew Jim Rosborough and he would know you and talk to you. And
right.
You're all welcome.
Right.
And now it's just all adversarial.
It's big.
Yeah.
It's become big.
I mean, Lute was making $80,000 a year.
Oh, my God.
There were add-ons.
Sure.
His base salary is $80,000 now. Sean Miller this year was over $4 million.
Sean Miller will make $80,000 this week.
Yeah.
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 Well, that'll do it for this episode of the Wildcast podcast. Greg Hansen, thank you for hanging out, talking about 88. We'll be back next week. Hopefully there will be basketball news to talk about next week. I'm tired of this two open coaching positions, no recruits.
No recruits.
You got to think something will move here in the next week or so. Before we go, Greg, quick prediction. Who wins the national championship Monday night?
Villanova.
Okay.
Who does Jay beat? Wright, really top guy.
Who do they beat?
Does it matter?
I'd love to see Loyola of Chicago.
Oh!
Loyola of Chicago in the title game?
If Loyola of Chicago gets there, you will hear me from my living room making loud noises late Saturday afternoon.
What if it was Loyola of Chicago versus Kansas?
I'd take that right now.
I mean, is that not to cast Kansas in a terribly negative light, but is that about as good of a good versus evil scenario as you can come up with? Little tiny Loyola of Chicago versus the big bad Kansas Jayhawks?
If Loyola gets there,
right.
I would say they'd have it just like Butler shot.
Mm-hmm. If Loyola were to play Villanova, it would be Jesuit Catholic school versus Jesuit Catholic school for all the marbles. I can't imagine that's going to happen.
Yeah, that's why the Final Four of the NCAA tournament is so good.
So good. So good. The NCAA, by the way, owes Loyola of Chicago like a beer.
Oh.
A beer or 20 for taking all of the heat off of the FBI investigations and the non-payment of players and everything else. And, I mean, Loyola of Chicago, this run is what's right about college athletics. And I'm sure the NCAA is very happy for that small amount of cover here in the month of March.
Yeah.
All right, Greg Hansen, we'll talk next week. Thanks for listening.